It's time to turn your daydream into your dream job. Wix gives you the power to turn your passion into a moneymaker with a website that fits your unique vision and drives you towards your goals. Let your ideas flow with AI tools that guide you, but give you full control and flexibility. Manage your business from one dashboard and keep it growing with built-in marketing features. Get everything you need to turn your part-time passion into a full-time business. Go to Wix.com.
Breakfast Business
with Enterprise Ireland
on News Talk.
Good morning and welcome to Breakfast Business, and thank you to the formidable Andrew Louth. It is Wednesday, the 2nd of October at 6:32, and we are coming live to you today from Grant Thornton HQ, overlooking the River Liffey, where dawn is breaking, though it's still quite dark, on a looming new fiscal year, as announced in the budget yesterday afternoon. Coming up in today's show, we'll hear how the budget will impact the economy and how it will impact companies, large and small, and all the markets as usual. You can email us, business@newstalk.com. But first, let's have a look at the main non-budget business stories in the newspapers and websites. The FT reports that Pink Floyd has agreed to sell their recorded music catalogue to Sony Music in an agreement worth an estimated $400 million. The transaction is understood to include Pink Floyd's recordings catalogue, plus neighbouring rights, plus name and likeness rights. It does not include publishing rights. The news comes after Sony reportedly completed the acquisition of a career-spanning set of rights for another legendary band, Queen, for over $1 billion earlier this year. That Queen deal included publishing rights, name and likeness rights, plus recorded music rights outside of North America. Recorded music royalties for Pink Floyd's music currently flows into two UK companies, Pink Floyd Limited and Pink Floyd Music Limited. The former appears to collect revenues for the band's recorded music catalogue following Roger Waters' departure in 1985. The latter collects revenues for music recorded before Waters' departure. The London Times reports that the crisis in the car maker Stellantis will result in one of the world's largest automotive groups burning through up to 10 billion euro of cash this year. The warning when it had previously forecast that it would be cash flow positive for the year, estimates that profit margins may have well come in at nearly half the 10% minimum previously expected, and it sent shares in the group plunging to a two-year low. Stellantis is the creation of Carlos Tavares. It's now under pressure, chief executive. He merged the French Peugeot Citroën group with Fiat Chrysler, the Italian-American group, to become a global player to rival Toyota and the Volkswagen group. Gordon Deegan in the Irish Times reports that the businessman Dennis O'Brien has completed the purchase of the Conrad Algarve in Quinta del Lago for around 200 million euro. The purchase adds to Mr. O'Brien's business interests in Portugal, where he has operated the Quinta del Lago golf resort in the Algarve since 1998. Now, Mr. O'Brien will be able to add the 134-room and 20-suite Conrad Algarve, which also includes a luxury spa, a techno gym, and various restaurants, including the Michelin-starred Gusto by the chef Heinz Beck, something we'll all enjoy spending, I'm sure. Now, the time is coming up to 6:35, so it is the morning after the day before. We've all heard bits and pieces about what Jack Chambers and Pascal Donoghue said in the budget yesterday, but are we now any wiser, having had a few hours to digest it? One thing is for sure, the nation has never been given back more of its own money than yesterday. But will all that money make our lives any easier or better? Joining me now from Grant Thornton headquarters in City Quay in Dublin is Andrew Webb, the chief economist, and Robert Fitzgerald, the tax partner with Grant Thornton. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning. Good morning, John.
Can I start with you, Andrew? What was the economic backdrop for this budget?
Actually, a really good economic backdrop for this budget. At no point in the last sort of 6 months or so would I have looked at the economy and thought what it really needs is a big injection of fiscal stimulus, but that's kind of where we landed yesterday. Just put a bit of context on that macroeconomic context. You know, record job rate, 84% of 25 to 54-year-olds in employment. Growth is back and is consistently so. And that's not to say that there aren't challenges and that there aren't risks in the economy. You know, consumer spending is a little bit wobbly. I think it was down just a touch towards the end of the summer, perhaps weather related, but perhaps confidence related. So you know, a real balancing act from where the consumer is. But overall, in a macro context, an economy that's posting growth and one that wasn't screaming out for an expansionary budget.
Which is what they have got. Is there any group who won't have more money in their pockets by, let's say, payday in January?
I mean, I think the money's been spread around pretty well. And, you know, Robert will obviously have the detail across all the various cohorts and groups that have done well out of this budget. From a consumer and person perspective, I think lots and lots of people have done well here. There's been an injection of significant amounts of money. You know, there's some losers in the business setting in terms of, you know, hospitality and VAT rates, but I think euros in pockets, I should say. Lots of people have done very well here, and I suppose targeted at lower income groups, which is welcome given that we're still just working our way through the inflationary challenges that we had. And I know we talk about inflation being in the rear view now, but you know, there's the after effects of that. Prices are still significantly higher than they were. So good to see that, you know, quite targeted measures towards those lower income groups.
Yeah, Andrew, Robert, I'm going to bring you in. Lots of little things for companies which stood out for you.
Yeah, I think there's a broad range of different investments that would be available here. If you look at it, and when you look at what they're trying to target, they're targeting domestic investment. So from the employment incentive scheme, they've doubled the threshold there from 500,000 to 1 million. From the angel investor, if you invest in a business, previously you were able to get gains at 3 million, it's now 10 million. So we need
to explain that to us. If you wish to invest in a startup, you can write off a lot of your investment.
Well, it's effectively where you meet the conditions of the angel investor relief. You're able to benefit for a reduced capital gains tax rate. So the current capital gains tax rate is 33%. It will be 16%. On up to gains made up to 10 million.
When you're cashing out.
So
in other words, when you're taking out some of your profits or your investment, you normally would be charged a capital gains tax of in the 30%. And that is now cut to 16%.
16%, yeah.
So is that going to encourage people to invest?
I think definitely. If you look at the CGT rates, we have previously got CGT rates of 20%. And when Minister McGreevy brought down those rates, we doubled the level of investment and the level taken in by the capital gains tax rate. So I do think that the reduction in the CGT would increase the level of...
No offense, but your brain is a terrible place to keep your big idea. It belongs in the world, but you know that already. You have a calling, a voice that says, this is what I'm meant to do. Create the website your big idea deserves with Wix. Make it your own with top-to-bottom customization, AI to help realize your vision, and built-in business tools to turn your daydream into your dream job. Wix supports every stage of the business journey, except one. Your decision to begin. Ready? Go to Wix.com.
Activity there.
Also really interesting as well, there's a little bit of help for the Dublin Stock Exchange to encourage the capital markets in this country. The Dublin Stock Exchange, and just to remind listeners, lost three flagship companies, delisted from Dublin and moved to New York, where unfortunately for Dublin, it has been a huge success for those companies.
Yeah, there was two specific measures that were brought in. The first is tax relief up to 1 million on expenses. I suppose what the Stock Exchange would say that one of the barriers to listing is the cost of actually listing is so prohibitive that the introduction of this will promote companies beginning to list. And I think the other point is one which, again, we're a little bit of an outlier, is the stamp duty on listed shares. That effectively, we currently charge 1% on stamp duty. What the minister has proposed is to remove that stamp duty, and really all that does...
That was a bit of a surprise though, wasn't it?
It was, but it was advocated for a lot.
Oh yeah, they definitely banged the table for it, but what did come as a surprise to make it easier to buy and sell shares.
I completely agree, and I think the reality is with those companies delisting, that triggered the government to take action, and really we do need to have a vibrant stock exchange in order to enable our SMEs to raise equity in the current market.
Because banks don't lend as easily as potentially angel investors would. Can you both stay with us, please, Robert and Andrew? We're going to take a quick break and we'll be back in Grant Thornton with the discussion of the budget.
Breakfast Business
with Enterprise Ireland
on News Talk.
We're back broadcasting live in the very well-appointed HQ of Grant Thornton on City Quay with Andrew Webb, the Chief Economist, and Robert Fitzgerald, a tax partner with Grant Thornton. Welcome back to both of you. Can I go back to you, Andrew? IFAC, the fiscal watchdog in Ireland, said that the budget repeats Ireland's past mistakes of pumping billions into the economy when it is at full employment. It says it needs a more serious vision. Strong words.
Strong words indeed, yeah. And, you know, I've been at odds with IFAC in the past in terms of they've been very consistent in their view that we shouldn't be pumping the scale of money in that the government has been doing. I have a lot more sympathy for that position now, given the strength of the economy, given the strength of the
labour
market.
So you're back on the Christmas card list.
I would hope so. And I think, you know, the message that they've come out with again is one that I think lands better because the economy is so strong. You know, even central banks' most recent work is talking about just how careful macro management is required to guard against stimulating more inflation and stoking all that because we are in that really strong labour market that, you know, employers are struggling to find people. That starts to bid up wages potentially, and then you inject a lot of cash into the economy through this budget, and you have that risk of stoking inflation. There was a little bit, to me, a little bit of a you know, sugar rush on the one hand, but then very well thought through in terms of, you know, a commitment not to squander the likes of the Apple money. Mm.
That's just an oral commitment.
Yes, it is. And so I suppose we need to see the proof of how that is put into those big infrastructure type projects and the key challenges in the economy. You know, they talk about the four Ds of demographics, decarbonisation, digitalisation and deglobalisation as the, I suppose, the guide towards
our big
challenge. What about
the election?
The election is pretty much what this budget was all about. So, yeah, we can add a fifth D to that list, I suppose.
The tax base, could it be even more narrow? Because they've raised the threshold for people to be paying the universal social charge, Andrew, and it means that more than a third pay no income tax in this country, which means more dependent on a certain group.
Yeah, I mean, I question the wisdom of that, just given how concentrated tax receipts are in corporation tax and how concentrated corporation tax receipts are in just a few really big payers. So, you know, sense would suggest that you want a broad tax base and they've narrowed it. So I suppose I would question the wisdom of that.
Yeah. Robert, can I bring you in? In terms of the disappointed groups, Ismay, of course, will probably livid the fact that the national minimum wage went up again to €13.50 per hour.
Yeah, I think there's no doubt the hospitality sector is the big loser in this budget 2025. Minister Donoghue did come out late yesterday that I said, unfortunately, we couldn't reduce the VAT rate from 13.5% down to 9%. Effectively, the cost to this jacker is €764 million if you do bring in that change. And if you, back to the point that you were just discussing, the concentration of the corporation tax and also the windfall nature, the surplus here is €23 billion. Mm. But when you strip out the windfall gains that have been received from Apple and the corporation tax, you're in a deficit. So the idea, a deficit of €6 billion for 2024. So I think it is actually quite prudent from the government's perspective not to bring in a measure that is going to cost the guts of €1 billion year on year. So they definitely will not. It's unfortunate, but there probably are very much the hospitality sector is the one sector that is lost out here.
I'm guessing the government would say that we have cut tax rates for the vast majority of the people. They can then choose to spend that money in pubs and restaurants and hotels. And the last time we cut VAT for you guys, quite a few of you did the dog and didn't pass on that VAT rebate reduction to your customers.
Yeah, I think if you look at the taxation measures, $1.4 billion was attributed to taxation measures. And the majority of that has been put to a reduction in income tax. So I think rather than doing targeted measures or significant measures for businesses, what they've tried to do is, one, reduce the wage pressures and the need for employees looking for more money by reducing their income tax, but also giving more money into the back pocket of the public to essentially spend them in the retail and hospitality sectors.
Do you think it could be inflationary?
There's definitely a risk. I think the inflation rates have come down, but the reality is when you look at the cost of goods and services, they are still very much quite high. So there's definitely a risk there. But I do also think that people are prudent. There is an element of global uncertainty. There is a lot of external factors that are impacting. And I think households would be mindful of that. Mm. And they'd be mindful of the economic outlook, given those uncertainty. And they might, you know, look to save a portion of it rather than spend it.
And what about companies? With the exception of those in the hospitality sector, would you say most of them would look at the measures and say, you know what, we're better off?
I think some of them will, particularly the ones that are in innovation. So the research and development credit. The tax credit, increasing that from 50,000 to 75,000. That will be very much welcome. And that is key to those type of companies. However, I would say in respect of that, there is an element of simplicity that is needed. I think this is needed across the entire tax system, in that there is a number of conditions that are required to be met in order to avail of that. And I think really we need to be able, we have some very good taxation measures in our tax system, but we need to be able to simplify them and make them affordable that companies can actually benefit from them.
A final word, Andrew Webb, what do you think? Any final thought that the government could have or should have and maybe did achieve?
I think what it has achieved in this, well, I mean, I think let's call it what it is. It's a budget that's aimed squarely at an election, but there was also measures within there to try and set up, you know, address the challenges of Ireland's competitiveness, which really are starting to slip. You know, housing's a massive, massive challenge and has been for ages, and we know that. But, you know, the
high cost base.
Yeah, all of that. But equally, the energy grid, the water, the sewers, all that goes with, you know, a fast growing modern economy needs injections of capital spend, and they've started to address that, but maybe not enough.
Andrew, thank you so much. That's Andrew Webb, the Chief Economist, and Robert Fitzgerald, the tax partner here with Grant Thornton.
Breakfast Business
with Enterprise Ireland
on News Talk.